you know, Ime knows us really well. You know, he coached on our staff last year. So I think he has some keys in the treasure chest that he's telling those guys. And to be honest with you, we don't really have time to be disappointed and to hold our heads. This is part of playoff basketball and learning your team and being in these situations where we can have some carryover into the next one. We're going against a team that's been together for, what, the last 4 or 5 years, 6 years. So I'm not surprised at all. I just think the timing is right. Their window is now for these young guys that are on this team that have matured. They've been through series together. They've been through seasons together. They've been through battles together. And I got a chance to experience some of that. And now being on the opposite end and going against a healthy Celtics team, obviously without Robert Williams, but you're just seeing there's a difference in their verve. There's a difference in the way they approach the game. And also they have a set offense and defense that they rely on. Ime's been a huge part of that. But you got to give credit to that guy that's sitting in the president's role as well now. That all of a sudden just, you know, we don't get to see him as often. Brad Stevens definitely has a lot to do with that.
I'm willing to die for it. I done cried for it. Might take a lie for it. Put the Bible down and go out for a knife for it. D.O.T. my enemy won't catch a vibe for it. Ayy.
All right, it's another episode of the Causeway Street Podcast. I'm Joel Pavone, and I got Sean Ducha in front of me, the two-man crew today.
Yes, you do, two-man crew. What's up?
We are back in the Causeway Street studios while Sway is on the road.
Yes, traveling to the part of New York that no one ever travels to.
Yeah, but it's not like a... not like a bad thing.
No, but just no one ever goes there unless there's a game there.
Yeah. I do like Brooklyn, though.
Brooklyn is fun. If you're going to see a Nets game and you know,
yeah,
hang out there for a little bit, yeah. But there's no reason to go to Brooklyn.
All right.
Unless you are a hipster.
But let's talk some Celtics, though.
Okay.
Celtics up 2-0 in this first round best of 7. After a 114-107 win in game two.
How surprised are you?
I'm not surprised at all. I mean, I am the only one on this podcast that picked the Celtics to win in 5, right? I'm not going to waver off that that prediction despite these first two games here, right?
No, it's a great prediction. I mean, feeling pretty good if I was you, too. I still feel pretty good about my prediction, too, though.
I mean, this was the Grant Williams, Al Horford, Daniel Tice game, right?
Technically,
and then on the flip side,
both games were.
No, but on the flip side, it was the Dragic, Bruce Brown, right? Steph Curry game for them because all the All-Stars in this on both squads didn't get going until the second half. Well, actually, scratch that. Tatum and Brown were the only ones that got going in the second half.
Durant and Kyrie never got going.
Not so much. Durant was shut down he's been shut down for 2 straight games here. All right. And that's probably let's start there. I can't remember the last time, if ever, that I've seen Kevin Durant look flustered, I guess for lack of a better term. He looks defeated. He doesn't, you know, his body language is just, it's showing me that, like, yo, this isn't what I thought was going to happen, kind of look, right? And even with Kyrie Irving, you know, all the boos and all the antics from game one, you know, he could sit there and say all he wants that it doesn't affect him. Oh, no, it affected him. It affected him big time because in game two, he went from 39 points to just 10 points.
Yeah. I mean, so to start with the Durant thing, I think that, I mean, obviously, this is the... In the playoffs, Durant is normally Durant, right? It's never a question he's not going to put up 30. But I think the Durant thing, I equate it to 2 reasons why Kevin Durant isn't playing well. The first reason is his counterpart, is Kyrie. I feel like that Kevin Durant right now, as much as everyone wants to say that Boston isn't in Kyrie's head, Kyrie is sort of in Durant's head right now. Like, Durant is thinking, like, what Kyrie am I going to get tonight?
Okay, I like where you're going with this.
Because that's been, but it's been the Durant.
I got you.
Durant hasn't had a solid number two all year.
I mean, you know what?
Hold on. He's definitely pooped.
whether it's solid or not, that remains to be seen.
I don't know. Yeah. But, I mean, what I'm talking about is.
I mean, I would hope so.
Kyrie hasn't been there all year. So, like, forget about, like, the fans getting into Kyrie's head. It's just, like, I don't think Kevin Durant really knows what to expect out of Kyrie game in, game out. And I think, like, there's another part to this that I think I'll say in a minute when we talk about it. But I think that has a big deal to do with Durant's performance and, like, what he's trying to do, what he feels like he needs to do because Kyrie.
Like, I mean, the fact that the Nets were up by 17 without Durant or Kyrie getting going at all in the first half.
Yeah.
You know, it speaks volumes to what you're saying, because on another team, two all-stars, two superstars, they one would tend to, you know,
pick the other one up,
right? And I'm not seeing that at all from Kyrie. Kyrie's going to get his.
Kyrie got his in the first game.
He got his in the first game, but like, one assist in game two?
Yeah. No, that's a big thing. And when Kyrie was on the Celtics, when the Celtics were struggling with Kyrie, which was only about a 4 or 5 game stretch there in like November to December in that 2018-2019 season, Kyrie wasn't passing the ball. And it was a big thing about Kyrie's going to get his, and that's it, and that's all he cares about. Which should have been the first thing for us to realize, like, he's definitely not staying here. But I feel like the last possession of game one for the Nets, where Kyrie did try to dribble and did try to make his own shot because he was on 39 points, and hell, let's make it 40 and let's make it 41 and call it a game. That's what was in Kyrie's head. And, like, I think Durant was like, okay, Kyrie, you do you, right? But then game two comes around, and KD may have that same mentality of, like, okay, Kyrie, you do you. And then Kyrie's fucking absent, not doing anything. He's not engaged at all. Kyrie, that game was the game that we saw when Kyrie was in Boston against the Bucks in that first round series. And leading up to that first round series, where he would just be absent and just be like,
no, that year was the second round because they took care of the Pacers. They swept the Pacers, right? If I'm not mistaken. Well,
okay, the second round. Okay.
So the second round, it was like
back when the first round didn't used to matter. Now you got this. I mean,
it's not your typical two, seven. I know.
It's like the Eastern Conference Finals.
You know. Brooklyn took care of, you know, Cleveland easily. So it's like, oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Oh, no. Watch out for Cleveland. I mean, watch out for Brooklyn. But look, the same issues that plagued the Celtics early in this season. You go, I go. Your turn, my turn.
Yeah.
That's what Brooklyn is doing. And guess who can't fix that? Steve Nash.
Oh, because he's not a fucking coach.
Steve Nash can't fix this.
It took Udoka 3 months to fix it. Udoka's a real coach. Steve Nash is not a real coach. And also,
not only that, like what is he selling that they're gonna buy into? The whole roster here. Not just the whole roster, just Kevin Durant and Steve and Kyrie. How does that trickle down to the rest of the roster?
Steve Nash has been the worst head coach in the NBA for 2 years running, and nobody has said a peep because he has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving and used to have James Harden, so he didn't need to do shit. Now he needs to actually coach.
They chose
up.
Him.
Oh, I know.
Irving and Durant, they chose him.
They didn't want a coach. They wanted players.
He was, what the hell was he in Golden State? He had some weird role.
He was just an advisor.
Yeah. So, you know, Durant was like, this is the guy that's going to let us do whatever the hell we want. And when shit hits the fan. And when shit hits the fan, he's going to take the blame for it.
Yep. And you know what? It's like, and we won't be held accountable because.
Yeah.
I'm Kevin Durant.
Like realistically, what adjustments did Brooklyn make from game one to game two?
So
because
you know what? You know what? I will say this. I will say this. I think Brooklyn did make adjustments in game two. Hear me out. Because I think that what Steve Nash did is people forget Ime Udoka was a assistant coach for Steve Nash last year, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
That's a secret weapon.
Ime Udoka was able to watch film and make decisions on things. So I legitimately think that Steve Nash looked at game one, how it did defending Durant and Kyrie, and we're going to do the same fucking shit. So we're just going to do the exact same thing that Ime did in game one. We're going to do to them in game two because they were suffocating Brown and Tatum every time they got the ball. They were.
They were, but.
No, they were.
I don't.
Not so much Brown, but more Tatum.
Okay, more Tatum, but what did Tatum do, though? Tatum didn't just get flustered. No,
Tatum was able to.
Was able to turn into a facilitator.
Yeah, which 10 assists from Tatum. I mean, that's no, baller.
He's got 10 assists this game. He had 8 assists the first game.
Well, he had 7 in the first quarter and then 8 for the game. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's still one.
I mean, if you want to split hairs here, no. This game here, speaking of Tatum real quick, this was the game that I saw the most Kobe-esque of Tatum.
Yeah, I would agree.
Because he could have easily just been like, "This is not my night. I'm just gonna, or I'm just gonna keep shooting, and eventually I'm gonna score." No, he said, "Not only am I gonna be a facilitator, but I'm gonna defend. I'm gonna defend the fuck out of Kevin Durant."
I thought it was I didn't initially think Kobe, but it's probably a good point because there was a lot of Kobe games where,
well, he didn't have it going offensively to start,
but he still would take 40
like,
shots.
I mean, against the Celtics, just alone, like in finals but battles,
even those games where he didn't have nothing, but he still put up 40 shots.
But he still found other ways to affect the game.
I know, but I just thought it was more
like in a game like this when you have 7 players in double figures for the Celtics, 27 assists on what 37 shots.
Yeah.
39 shots. Like, that's the Celtics basketball that we've been seeing the last 3 months.
100%. I don't think it was a Kobe-esque performance because I think if Kobe was to get out of a bad, that type of defense, he would have kept shooting.
Well, I've never, I mean, I don't think.
Out. I thought,
The reason why I bring him up is only because, you know, that's, you know, that was his favorite basketball player. He grew up a fan of his, but I never could say definitively that, oh, he has the same game as Kobe. Oh, it's going in that direction. But but game two was as close to Kobe as I've seen since he's been on the Celtics.
See, for me, that reminded me more of Paul Pierce when he didn't have it. Because Paul Pierce, when he didn't have it.
Come on, but Paul Pierce, it's very, very rare when he didn't have it.
Right. You're right.
Yeah.
Because, but I'm saying, I remember, and maybe it's because these games stand out more than anything, but like, even those battles against San Antonio and, like, he wouldn't have it for 3 quarters, but he would keep shooting and shooting. And then he would make, like, 9 shots in a row, Kobe would, in the fourth quarter because he kept shooting. And he'd be, like, 12 for 40 with, like, 35 points. But hey, you know what? I will say this. It wasn't so much the Kobe game, but it was the Mamba mentality, I think, that he's trying to embrace.
All right. I'll take that.
And also, too. The biggest thing, getting back to my Kevin Durant point initially, Kyrie's in his head and Udoka's in his head. The same way.
At this point, he's in his own head too.
The same way. If you remember this, and you will remember this, when Peyton Manning used to tear up the New England Patriots and Bill Belichick said, fuck this. We're rocking their receivers. We're getting up in their face. We're hitting them at the line. We're hitting them over the line of scrimmage. We're hitting them anytime we can hit them. We're going to hit them and we're going to knock them off their rhythm. That's what they're doing to Kevin Durant right now. And it's working because Kevin Durant at the post game conference never cried about the refs.
No,
never cried.
I mean, he better not. He went to the fucking free throw line 20 times
because he knows. He never cried about something being unfair. He just basically admitted they're hitting the shit out of me. They are hitting me left and right. Every time I get the ball, they're on my like. Yeah. And you know what? Udoka. I've never been
Okie dokie like Charles called them.
Okie dokie, fine. Or Sudoku, whatever you want to call him, man.
That was when Sean wanted him fired.
Yes, I apologize. All I know is he's got him. That the game plan, and we went into this series.
Yeah, but it's pretty simple, though.
But we went into this series, and we did not put any stock in the fact that Ime Udoka coached Kevin Durant and this exact same team in an in-depth version of it, and he knows how to stop him.
I did, because I was like, yo, not only did Udoka coach in Brooklyn a season ago, but all this shit that Kevin Durant was talking during the Olympics.
Right.
Like, oh, yo, watch out, Celtics. Like, oh, yeah, y'all took one of our coaches, but we're still going to rock y'all. And Udoka was like, okay. Okay. Right. He's been waiting for this shit.
Hey.
If you tell me otherwise, then you haven't been paying attention. Udoka he's been waiting.
I am truly
to fucking sink his teeth into the Brooklyn Nets, because he's like, the moment that the Celtics match up with the Brooklyn Nets, whether it's, you know, in this situation, it's the 2 against 7 seed,
right?
Whatever it was going to be,
finals, whatever.
Whatever it was going to be, he's like, bring me Brooklyn.
Yep.
Because I got those guys' number. And it's pretty simple what he's doing. Yeah. He said it. We're just crowding his space.
And you know what the best?
We're just making it uncomfortable for him. And I've never seen Durant guarded like this.
Ever.
Never.
And when Stan Van Gundy gives the Celtics some credit, you know they're doing something right.
Bro. I love me some Stan Van Gundy. But in that first half, He was all about Nash, junk.
Yeah.
All over Nash. Like, oh, it's clearly that they've made some adjustments.
I did watch the first quarter on NBC Sports Boston, but then they were losing so bad I had to switch it, superstition reasons, and then Grant Williams went on his run, which we could talk about in a little bit of why the Celtics actually won the game offensively. We'll talk about those people in a minute.
I stayed with the national broadcast. I'm just not a big Scalabrine fan. That's just me.
Hey, I'm a Gorman fan.
I love Gorman.
I listen to Gorman, and I wanted to do it, but it just wasn't working for the time I was watching it, so I had to switch it.
I felt like in the first half for the Celtics, the second chance points for Brooklyn. That was annoying. It's like that might be the one adjustment that I clearly can see that Brooklyn made. Like we're gonna jump on every fucking rebound.
No matter if
they have a chance to grab an offensive rebound. And it just seemed like,
yeah,
it just seemed like it was just, there were long rebounds the whole night for them.
Well, I do think one of the adjustments that they made was that.
Cause I mean, like, I think the game one, there was,
yeah,
Boston like 50 to like 20 some rebounds. Yeah.
But the adjustment, it wasn't the Drummond or Claxton factor.
No. Wasn't that. It was the Drogic.
It was the guards.
Drogic.
It was
Curry,
the guards playing.
Yeah.
No, bro.
Bruce Brown, I know.
Bro, the guards were playing rec ball. The guards were like, I'm going to get this rebound.
Yeah.
We're going to pass this out. That doesn't normally happen in the NBA. Yeah. And I dare the Nets to do that again.
Yeah.
Because if you want Ime to guard against rec ball, then fine. We'll play the double big lineup and we'll just rebound it and then outlet all day.
Yeah. And the rebounding battle, it was canceled out, 36-36.
Well,
the turnovers were canceled out, 14-14.
Can I tell you my secret to the series?
Go ahead.
Andre Drummond getting in foul trouble. Because without Robert Williams, Andre Drummond will do one of two things. Get us in foul trouble or get himself in foul trouble. In game one, we clearly saw he is an incompetent buffoon. And will get himself in foul trouble. But in game two, he was a little like his presence was felt longer because he was getting Tice and Horford in foul trouble and being able to do that. So I think if I'm Udoka, I am just first two possessions of the game. I'm passing it down to Tice or Horford, giving up those possessions, saying whatever it is. Just let's get some early fouls on Drummond because, you know, I'm not saying he's a game changer, but for a team that's looking for any type of spark, he is a spark. And, you know, he can be a spark.
He can be. With the same way that Bruce Brown can be, and to some capacity. I don't think you'll see a 23-point, another 23-point game out of Bruce Brown. I'll tell you that.
I was laughing.
I'll tell you that.
He went up 9-0 against everybody.
Yeah, that was.
I go, okay. So you obviously see what we're doing here, right? We're going to make everyone else beat us. Bruce. Or no.
Bruce, that's it. You got
Brett. Brett.
Oh, Brett, my bad.
Brett Brown from New Hampshire. Don't get too high. And then, like, he wasn't. But then when he hit that 9th point, he was like, "Let's go." I was like, okay, yeah. we got this.
Dragic. Yeah, Dragic was like, and what? I'm like, come on, dude.
But Dragic, bro.
Yo, I can't. I haven't been able to stand that dude since the bubble series.
I hear you. I am legitimately worried about Dragic making an impact at home.
Motherfucker, you cried your way out of Toronto, and this is what you were waiting for a fucking.
But wouldn't he be nice on the Celtics right now?
No. No.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Oh, my God.
No. We got Little Pritchard, okay? Okay?
Okay.
Wop, bop, a little bon, and wop, bam, boom. We got Little Pritchard, okay?
Are we going there? Is that where we're going next?
I mean, why not?
Wait, before we talk about Pritchard, about the good,
all right,
Pritchard and Williams.
I mean, Udoka left them in there a little bit longer than he normally would have because he was doing his thing. That's called trust.
No, that's
called trust.
He did not let him off a little bit. He had him on a leash, and he basically said, "You know what, Pritch, you ready? You go ahead, run around the neighborhood. You'll be back for dinner." That's basically what he did with a dog. Like he let him off the leash and let him run around the park.
No.
Sniff whatever you want.
No.
Eat whatever you want, man.
He gave him a little extended play because Mar was resting and because Dwight, I call him D White.
No, I want to talk about him.
He was in foul trouble.
He sucks.
No, he doesn't suck. Don't say that. That's not true. No, he has not.
Okay.
He had a good game one.
Let's talk about it.
He had a good game one.
Let's talk about it.
He had a good game one. But
Elefante in the room.
Pritchard. The confidence that he's been playing with, despite whether he gets minutes or not, that was key. And that was clutch.
No, that is huge. Because if you can extend the rotation to one more guy that you're confident in, that is huge. You go from 8 to 9. Now you have a backup for either Marcus Smart, Jaylen Brown, or if Derek White doesn't have it, like he hadn't, and like, I don't know. I'm not going to, he's way better than Evan Fournier, but God damn.
You're not going to turn this into a fucking shit on White.
I'm not yet.
No, don't do that.
All right.
Don't do that.
I really like what Peyton Pritchard gave us. And you know what? I love Peyton Pritchard because the first shot that he took, remember the first shot that he took? Oh, missed badly. It was like off the backboard. And it was like
Tice's second shot. Because he's the one that he scored the first bucket for the Celtics. And it was like, you know what? What is it? 11-2. And it was like, all right, Celtics on the board. And then his next shot was a top of the key three. Then it hit the backboard. Hit backboard. Didn't hit the fucking the rim at all. But I mean,
Pritchard,
you keep going, right?
Pritchard's got confidence, which I love. And you know what?
It was the pro-am all over again.
Yeah, it was. It was for a second there because he juked the fuck out of Claxton.
Yeah, he did.
And pulled up on that. And you know what? I know we're going to stop talking about this game because we've got to get to everything else we're going to talk about. But I'm going to put two big moments in the game.
All right.
Both Marcus Smart. The first moment was that layup to seal the win.
The lefty,
when you stare at the hand and everything that happened after that was amazing. But, I mean, going into that, there was 1 second on the shot clock. When he put that up, was a bailout shot.
I mean, I guess he's got this, the shot clock thing down to like a pat now,
yeah,
right?
He does.
Because he could have shot that at least twice before he actually went up for that layup. Like,
you know what? Lefty, bop, got you.
Got you.
And you know what, too? Before that, he might as well
kiss the crowd. After
yeah.
That.
yeah, that was a thing of beauty. And that's the first time I started to think we're going to win this game. I didn't think we won the game.
Until, really?
I didn't think. No,
I felt confident once they. I just wanted them to get a lead.
No, because
and they tied it a few times in the third.
Oh, I know.
They went in there like 20 to whatever run in the third, but they never took the lead. And then they're down by five at the end of the third, going into the fourth, and then another run came, and it was
they were going on the runs.
And yeah, they were going on the runs, and then Jaylen Brown woke up. And then Payne Pritchard. When Payne Pritchard hits the go-ahead shot.
That was amazing.
When he hits the go-ahead shot and the crowd woke up again.
I thought I was hallucinating.
The crowd woke up again. And I was like, this is all I wanted to see.
Yeah.
For them to fucking just grab the lead.
100%.
Just grab the lead.
Once they grabbed it, because, they never let it go.
Yeah, because what adjustments were the Nets going to make at that point?
But it was,
at that point, what were they going to do?
The only thing that stuck with me was just Kyrie and KD. So that's why I was like,
maybe. It's the same reason. It's the same reason why
JB and JT woke up in the last 2 minutes. I was expecting the same from KD and Kyrie, but they didn't.
The same reason why the Celtics. You gave the Celtics one last chance to win Game One.
Yeah,
it's because you were dribbling, thinking that you could take on one on four, and then you throw the ball.
Yeah,
I'm talking about Kyrie. You throw the ball to KD with 3 seconds left when he hasn't been shooting well at all.
He's like, "What the fuck is
you
this?
Set him up to fail right there."
Typical Kyrie.
And like the best last second play I think I've seen in quite some time.
Yep.
So you can't count the Celtics out. Not this team. Not this version.
Oh no, I don't count them out because I knew they were going to make it close, and I'm not saying you. We had to be up by 10 before I was comfortable.
I mean, Marcus Smart, in the playoff, you don't have to blow out anybody.
I know. But also, my second favorite Marcus Smart moment of the night, and maybe you caught this, was the Nick Claxton free throws.
Oh, the air ball? He missed both.
But if you watch the first free throw, Marcus Smart is so pissed off about the foul.
Oh, yeah.
He is staring him down.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can tell by looking at Nick Claxton, he can feel the eyeballs in the back of his head. And then if you watch,
this motherfucker's going to miss him anyway.
After the first free throw, he misses. Marcus Smart goes to the bench. You know what Nick Claxton looked at? Marcus Smart walking to the bench. He watched that motherfucker walk to the bench and then airball by 2 feet. Marcus Smart got in that guy's head for like
just by staring at him,
just by grilling,
just by
him.
Staring at him. No, there and was another
him pretty fucking hard. No, too.
There was another foul. I'm trying to remember who the one that got the he didn't commit the foul, but he got called for the foul. It was on Durant. He didn't even touch him. Durant goes to the line, and Durant's it's automatic when it comes to free throws.
Yeah.
First time I've ever seen him miss them both, and I was like, that's when
ball
I knew.
Don't lie. Ball don't lie.
I've always known that the ball doesn't lie, but that's what I was knowing. I was like, this is not the night for him. And mind you, I do expect him to go off at some point, right? I'm not going to sit here and be like, oh yeah, that's it.
This series
is done. But the way they're guarding him, the way that he looks defeated.
Yeah, he does.
He looks defeated. He does. But I think you bring up a good point. I think he's thinking like, what am I doing with this dude? Because how is Kyrie gonna help?
Like Kyrie,
how is he gonna help us?
Kyrie having game one and then fucked up the last possession, and then game two.
But
playing good. Where's Kyrie?
But if you see in that last possession,
he's eating a banana on a fucking sideline.
If you see that last possession though in game one once again, because I've seen it so many times, those two in particular didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Oh, that's because they don't run plays.
They didn't know what the fuck was going on.
They don't have a coach.
And that's the difference, ladies and gentlemen. The little things. Chemistry. A coach who actually cares about playing defense. I mean, as much as I love Steve Nash as a player, was Steve Nash ever known as a defensive stopper? As a defender?
No, he never played defense in his whole
career. No. Like letting Ime go, by the way.
That was the worst thing ever.
Worst thing Brooklyn has ever done. Like you've hired D'Antoni on your.
No, they chose Steve Nash over Ime Udoka.
Yeah, you're right. They did. So Udoka is coaching circles around Steve Nash right now.
It's not going to change.
It's not going to change.
The Nets mimicked their defensive play in game one. You know, Udoka's got a way to get around it. He's coaching the players out to be like, this is how you beat us. This is how you beat how we play defense on Tatum and Brown. And Grant Williams, Daniel Tice, Al motherfucking Horford, baby.
The veteran, playoff Al.
Oh, my God. You can't say enough about Al Horford.
The beast.
Absolute stud.
Picked up his fourth, picked up his fifth foul, and Doka doesn't even consider, yo, should I take? Nah, man.
He's like, you keep going after Durant the way you're doing it, bro. And then you know what?
And make a couple of threes.
And then Peyton Pritchard, which is what it is. I'm so glad that Nesmith ain't playing. I'm so glad that Romeo ain't playing.
Well, he's not even on the squad anymore.
I know, but you know what I'm saying? They filtered it out. They filtered out the shit. That now we got the squad, kid. Now we got the squad.
This episode of the Causeway Street Podcast is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. Our partners at BetOnline continue to be the number one source for all your betting needs and sports info. Find all the latest sports developments, including updated odds on the playoffs, fights, and even the next season futures. And don't forget that baseball is back and the start of the Major League Baseball season is finally here. BetOnline is your continued source for all your sports wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino and poker games. It's super easy to get started, so head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and use our promo code CLNS50 to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts.
All right. What's next? What do you? Are you still sticking with your, you know, seven Celtics and seven?
I'm gonna put it this way.
Are you going to wait to what game three happens and how that plays out?
Game three is the make or break game, and I know it sounds stupid and cliche to say that, but game three.
Well,
is
a series doesn't really start until the visitor wins a game.
Until they visit game, and as much as it seemed like. Like, I do feel like if we were talking about a 2-7 matchup that didn't have the Nets and KD and Kyrie in it, right? We would look at these first two games and be like, ooh, Celtics, they had to really, like, play really hard to win two games at home in the first round. So if you're just thinking on that route, like, you can't think of it as a normal 2-0.
Yeah, because the other team has played to their
– right.
Like, they haven't had their best, whatever.
But game. The Celtics haven't either. So
that's what I'm saying. Both teams. I'm saying both teams.
I just think it's hard to call this season. I mean, this series, and it's hard to bet on this series. To be honest,
so that's what it is with you. You're looking at it at a game like a
I'm
game by game.
Like I'm looking at. If I'm gonna put my money on someone, it'll be the Celtics to win Game Three, and it'll be the Celtics to sweep the series. But if I'm looking at it as like.
With the gambler's eyes,
I think that there could be. I don't think that the Celtics. I'll put it this way. I'm going to put it. Any eyes. If the Celtics win game three, it's going four, and that's it.
That's it.
They're going to sweep.
All right.
Because you know that KD and Kyrie are not playing game four down 3-0. They're not.
What do you mean they're not? They're not going to get up.
They're not going to get up for that game.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
And they'll put Ben Simmons in and be like, "Yo, Ben, so Kyrie, fucking deal with this."
So
shit.
Kyrie's going to come up with some phantom injury.
Oh, yo, what do you have in the Eastern Conference Finals?
Pink eye. I don't know what the fuck.
No, it was a nose thing. the deviated septum.
My man, out of all days that you scheduled that procedure, Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
But he was on the bench.
He went to every single home game.
But could go to.
But
game
the
seven.
Most important game of the year up to that point. All right, I digress. The way I look at it, as the series switches,
sleep apnea is not a joke.
As this, you're telling me
no. But deviated septum surgery is a joke because that's technically a nose job covered as a.
Regardless, he could have rescheduled it. I pretty sure that, you know, he wasn't going to have to, you know, pay a fine. The fact that Kyrie giving the, quote, same energy back to the Celtics fans in game one cost him $50,000. And in game two, they didn't take the bait. You know, I think I remember seeing at one point him, you know, gesturing to the crowd like, oh, it's too much money for me to, you know, to pretend like I care, even though I do care.
Yeah.
So
all the nice things he said after.
So that's what I'm saying. So Kyrie, so now that's the route I'm going. So Kyrie decided to take the high road and say nothing but glowing things about this. I was like, well, of course the Celtics are up 2-0. They've been together for 4 or 5 years. Right? Here comes the excuses. We haven't been together for that long. And
you could have been here, Kyrie.
And you know, the window is now open for the Celtics to contend. And kudos to Ime, who used to be with us. And kudos to the man behind the scenes.
Oh, yeah.
Brad Stevens, the coach you didn't want to play for.
Yep.
The coach that you couldn't stand.
That you thought was too much X's and O's.
Yeah. The coach that you didn't want to listen to.
The coach that is only not a coach right now because of you. There's no reason why Brad Stevens isn't coaching in the NBA. It's because of Kyrie Irving.
You think so?
100% is because of Kyrie Irving. He decided that this wasn't the right coach for him, and it wasn't the right coach for Tatum, wasn't the right coach for Brown, and that they're impressionable youth.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Kyrie's presser was short and sweet.
Yeah.
You know, but the reason why I'm saying that, because the Nets PR guy was like, all right, we're going to stop it there. We're not even going to talk about the crowd. We're going to just, you know, he said.
Why did he eat the banana? Why did he eat the banana?
Because he celebrates Ramadan. And
why did he eat the banana?
Because he hasn't eaten anything.
Why banana?
You know, from between sun up to sundown.
Why banana, though?
He needs some potassium. What else is in a banana? I can't remember right now.
Why banana?
I mean, why do we eat oranges when we used to play soccer when we were kids in the middle of, at halftime?
Why didn't you eat orange?
Well, I forget what else is in a banana other than potassium. I mean, he is doing a workout. Potassium, fiber, I hear, is good.
Fiber.
Okay. I hear potassium is good when you're running around. You know, so we was told, yep, sun's down, sun's gone.
You know why he ate a banana?
Well, he had a bunch of fruit. He was shown eating a banana, but I saw him come out
but
with a bunch of fruit.
You know why he ate the banana?
No, Sean, I don't know why he ate the banana. What are you insinuating?
Nothing.
Okay.
That's it. I'm just saying, why'd you choose the banana in Boston?
I have one guess.
What?
Because that was the easiest thing to eat. You know how you gotta peel an orange?
That's very true.
All right?
But mom peels the orange.
Yeah, but no one's going to peel it for him.
I mean, orange slices, you just suck on the thing.
But it was a whole orange. You know, an apple, that takes a while to get, you know, to eat.
All right.
Banana's the quickest thing to peel, and you gobble it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Moving on. Game 3 and 4. Celtics win game 3. And at some point, Katie's going to go off, not because of something that Steve Nash is going to adjust to. He's due, right? So I'm not going to waver. Celtics still going to win this in 5. They're going to come back to Boston and win it in 5.
You think that if the Celtics are going to win game 3 and the Nets are going to win game 4?
Yes.
See, I just think that if the Celtics do win game 3, which I think they will, and I think they should, and they think they need to, it's over. Because I don't think that – I think the KD and Kyrie will be like, yeah, it's done. We'll just wait till next year. Ben Simmons, go play with the scrubs, you fucking pussy. You're supposed to be back on game 4. Go play. Go win us a game, yeah. Ben.
Well, we shall see.
Yeah, I know.
We shall see.
Crazy 2 games. Let's see what happens in games 3 and 4. But it is time to take our trip around the NBA, the same way we take our trip around the NBA every single episode. It is time for...
In case you missed it.
In case you missed it. In case you missed it.
All right. Basically, for this playoff edition of In Case You Missed It, the very first one of the postseason, it's basically just injury updates. This is exactly what it is.
Okay, let's go. Let's talk about those injured legs.
It's a playoff injury update. Okay, the Bucks, in case you missed it, could be without Chris Middleton for the rest of the first round series against Chicago after the All-Star was diagnosed with an MCL sprain in his left knee.
Oh, that's the same thing Robert Williams got, isn't it?
No, that's a partially torn meniscus.
All right, I'm learning about the knee every day of my life. I'm learning about the knee.
Hip bones connected to the thigh bone.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, he'll be reevaluated in 2 weeks, according to ESPN. That series is currently tied at one apiece, going back to Chicago for game three. So that's a bit of a blow because, in my opinion, the Bucks, very well rounded, have plenty of depth, and everyone, I feel like, from 1 through 15, even the younger Antetokounmpos, they know their role.
Yeah, definitely they know their roles. And you know what? You wonder now, does this ignite Chicago, who may not have a ton of firepower, but...
No, DeRozan went off, though.
DeRozan went off in game two, and he sucked in game one.
I know, but that's what I'm saying. He came back with a vengeance. You're gonna need like 40 P's from DeRozan again.
Yeah. Oh no, you're gonna need 40. You're gonna need the P's and the food from DeRozan. You're gonna need both.
You're gonna need the side of the buffalo sauce. Or
oh yeah,
all
you're
of
gonna,
that.
And you're gonna need Zach LaVine to come through and be like, "Yo, I got you, fam."
You got the coleslaw.
I got coleslaw. I got mashed potatoes, and you know my mom makes that good mac and cheese.
And to top it off, some corn on the cob.
Oh yeah, no, Caruso brings corn on the cob.
Okay, my bad. You're right.
You know Caruso brings that corn on the cob.
He does.
And then Vucevic is like, "Does anyone want some fish?"
Just put it over there, Vooch.
Vooch, we good, but we'll
put it over there. Don't microwave that. Keep that covered.
but hey, you know, I don't know if this will turn the first round series, but it quite possibly could. And even if
at least extend it,
even if it extends it,
yeah,
that makes like you know whoever wins this first round series between the Celtics and Nets,
yeah,
that makes their next round matchup a little bit easier.
For those who don't know, that's. Whoever wins is between the Celtics and Nets would face the winner of the Bulls against the Bucks series.
Which is like, hey, you know what? This is halibut. No one likes it. I don't understand.
Little swordfish. No.
Swordfish. I kept the horn on. I kept it on. The sword's there. You don't like it? You can make a steak. You cut it up. You make a steak. You know? Okay. It's
well wrapped in aluminum foil.
I'll just rebound.
That's fine. Whatever.
Okay, I'll get the offensive rebound. I get it.
All right. And in case you missed it, we actually have a special guest, a regular here on the Causeway Street Podcast to talk about this next story here. Our resident Suns fan, Tim Tunis. Welcome to the Causeway Street Podcast once again. Pretty sure you know why we have you on here.
Yeah. And it ain't good.
And it ain't good. You know,
Devin Booker. Not happy about it at all.
You know? Book over here could miss 2 to 3 weeks with a grade one hamstring strain, according to ESPN. Typically, the injury requires approximately 14 to 21 days to recover from. And right now, the Suns are currently tied with the Pelicans 1-1 with the series heading to New Orleans. Tim, how are you feeling? What are your thoughts here?
All right. I've been going... There's like no in between for me right now. I've been either going one extremely negative way or one extremely positive way. And I don't know what to think of it. So the negative part is the role players haven't been great the last 3 weeks. Right. And I don't know if that was because we clinched the one seed so early that they somewhat stopped caring as much once they had that or what it is. But the negative part is without him carrying the team, if these other guys don't step up, we might not even get past the Pelicans.
Oh.
Tim, where does the offense come from without Booker? Because I know that winning can come from CP3 and you were able to like.
Like when the role players are playing well, Cam Johnson's shooting well, Mikal's playing well. Campaign is playing his role as the backup point. Like they're fine.
I'll tell you who's not playing well.
None of them have really been doing that recently. Like Cam Johnson was out for like 3 weeks.
But what's up with Ayton? Why can't Ayton fill the role?
Ayton's been fine. Yeah, he's been fine. But he needs to fucking toughen up on the rebounding. Like Valanciunas has been
gobbling him up, man. Yeah,
because like the matchup. Honestly, the matchup isn't great as without Buck now.
So let me put it this way. Let me ask you. I'm gonna ask you straight up because we talked right after this happened. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much is it that baby's fault?
All right, hold on real quick. But for those that don't know, it's not the baby or Lil Baby, the rappers, right? We're talking about
the Phoenix Suns demon baby.
The baby that happened to be in the crowd there when Book gave him a little pound while he was sliding out of bounds.
Could have been that's the most funny, because when I first saw that, I was like, "Yo, that was fucking awesome." And then you brought, I didn't even think of it until you brought it up the other day. And I was like, "Oh, fuck that baby."
I didn't think Tim was going to bring that. It was going to even bring that up, but yeah,
like, I didn't even think of it.
He didn't hold back. He didn't hold back.
It was a pretty cool moment, man. Giving that baby the dap.
My thing about the whole baby dap, the whole baby dap thing. Who the fuck has enough money to bring a baby to the front row? What you know?
It's a little pound. You're like, shit, that mother for that reason was just like, yo, like you better pound my son real quick.
Oh, hold on though. How tall is Devin Booker?
No, well, he was on the ground.
He was sitting, bro.
But he's 6 feet, 6'4".
Yeah.
He was literally Devin like
Booker,
lying.
No, wait, Devin Booker is 6'4", 215, going full pace at a human being that's holding a baby.
I see what
baby.
You're saying.
Like,
I see what you're saying.
Why are you bringing a baby in the front row of an NBA game?
That's not Booker's fault. It can be dangerous.
The only reason why you bring a baby there is if you know your baby is invincible and he is.
I mean, Deuce sits in the front row every game.
Yeah,
bro.
But you know,
half the time he ain't even paying attention.
He's got some sort of video game device going.
The only guy who's coming into the crowd and that is Marcus Smart. And he knows, Tatum's like, yo, these three seats, you don't fuck with them. You know what I mean?
Shaq used to dive into the crowd. All the time.
I mean, the whole bench one time just cleared out when he was trying to like grab a rebound. So he was like, yo, fuck y'all for that.
So if that child grows up to be a Suns fan, Tim, is he allowed to be a Suns fan now?
Well, I mean, the game
depends on what happens for the rest of the.
This is a big moment in this child's life,
bro. The game was in Phoenix. Why wouldn't that kid be a Suns fan?
Because he dapped up D Book, and then D Book got a torn or whatever hamstring injury.
He's gonna be a Suns fan, but it's about if he's accepted as a Suns fan.
Yeah, he's gonna be like the Bartman of Cubs fans.
No, no one's gonna know that baby like Bartman. The way the baby looks. Years from now,
Me, Tim will know.
No. Oh, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, Tim's got that kid. I like.
So you're telling me when something else bad happens to the Suns organization, and then they're gonna be like, "Well, guess who was in the crowd?
Who was in the crowd?" Yeah, 1,000%.
Wow.
Oh yeah, I bet you that happens.
Yeah,
especially if the rest of the playoffs goes well.
I'm really worried. I'm really worried that in
10, 15 years he's gonna be at a game and they'll show the replay and be like, "Here he is."
Yeah, I'm really worried that you got a Bartman in the Suns.
You got a Bartman vibe going.
Bartman vibe.
Nah, yo.
But anyways,
that's totally Bartman.
That's completely different. Like,
that's not the same.
All fans hated the fact that he reached out and grabbed the fucking ball.
But he had
no fan was like, yo, why that baby fucking put his little fist up?
Well,
not to mention it was after like a good play.
The mother's like pushing the poor kid's arm out, like yo, that one, like hit him, pound him.
The baby after the game was like, just to be clear, I did not want to give a fist pump. Okay,
in the middle of a game.
I understood the situation. I understood that Devin Booker had a good play.
He had to get back up.
I did not want to be a distraction.
That was my mama's fault.
You could blame my mama. That's it. My mama said, give him a fist
bump.
And what am I to do in that situation?
Mama said, give him the fist bump.
And then fucking Fonzie comes, what mama doesn't know.
And he was going nuts. Like, he was going absolutely nuts.
All of a sudden, he's got a tattoo on his butt.
What?
not the baby, but, the Fonz.
The Fonz.
We talk about Waterboy.
Waterboy. Anyways.
He took it a little bit further.
Tim. Serious question.
Yeah.
Brandon Ingram's playing like a boss. CJ McCollum has been playing really well. If you're now picking the series as a Suns fan.
I mean, I'm picking the Suns.
I know, but it was definitely in four or five earlier. Is this going to extend?
Is it five or six?
I mean, I think before it would be silly.
Hold on. Where did you have them? How did you have the series?
It was Suns in four.
I think, what I think is going to happen is we'll take them in six.
All right. So this was the beginning. This is before the injury.
Wait, before the injury.
No. Before the injury, I thought four or five.
Oh, okay.
Right. I thought they might like the way they played that game last. I mean, did you watch the game?
Of course, I stay up and watch the game.
They went, what, 17 or 18 to 30? They shot like 60% from three. Like, they were just knocking everything down.
But also,
that had happened a couple times this year to us. Like, the Hawks did the same thing to us. And, like, that was half of our losses this year were just teams catching fire like that. But, like, I don't see that happening.
Even in New Orleans?
So, my biggest thing is Brandon Ingram. I haven't seen Brandon Ingram play well. I had League Pass. I watched a couple of Pelicans games, and I just was waiting for him to, like...
Well, basically, since C.J. McCollum has come to the team, I feel like...
He was an all-star last year, right? They were like...
No, yeah, but the biggest thing of this series is the rebounding.
Like 2 years.
Yeah, rebounding is the thing of the series.
Not this year.
No, last year was Zion.
That's not my worry. It's the rebounding. They're getting, like, 20 more shots a game than us because Valanciunas is just getting every offensive rebound.
Yeah, so...
Get 13 offensive rebounds in game one.
Let me ask you this, Tim. If the Suns squeak out against the Pelicans, but Booker's not available for the next round, which could be Luka or could be...
I don't care about Utah.
The Jazz.
Utah doesn't scare me at all. Jazz are fucking pussies.
How are you feeling about the Dallas, Suns' championship chances? I'll put it that way. How are you feeling about the Suns' getting back to the finals chances if Booker has to miss an extended amount of time?
Well, what's an I mean,
well, I mean, this injury is anywhere from 2 to 3 weeks.
Let's say it's a month.
So that would be what, one or two games in the second round?
Yeah.
The rest of this series, he's
out for the first round series.
I think they could get past Dallas if they have him for five games that series.
But that's going seven.
Yeah, but I mean, the Warriors right now are the team that scares me the most in the West.
Suns are fucked, huh?
Well, what are you talking about, Stu?
I'm just messing with you.
Like, you just...
I was just like, is this why you called me? Oh, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
I'm just putting words in your mouth, man. No, I'm
like, if you were to ask me this last year, it was a very similar situation last year, except a better Lakers team with Chris Paul getting injured and we were down 2-1.
But he wasn't injured, though. He had COVID. That's different.
No, against the Lakers, he was injured.
When did he have COVID, though? I remember he had COVID at some point.
He had COVID in the Clippers series.
Oh, Clippers, yeah.
I mean, I think, if anything, this is proving that that Booker's more important than Chris Paul to this team.
Yeah, and I've, you know what,
like,
Tim, I will put it this way. I think it's an abomination that Devin Booker was not in the MVP conversation this year.
We had this talk. Remember what I said? It's all fucking media and politics.
I know.
Because I knew he wasn't going to, even though we won the freaking league by what, 9 games?
Yeah, I'm watching.
And he was clearly the best team on the team.
I'm watching Jokic right now just get manhandled. And I mean, you're talking about a 6 seed and then Giannis, well,
this,
you're talking
this
about
is
a
something
seed.
That annoys me because like Kendrick Perkins is like, oh, Pelicans are taking this series now and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, well, where was all this when?
Hey.
The MVP talks, because it's like all of a sudden,
right?
They're saying the Suns would still be good without Booker, and they'd still be a 4 or 5 seed, and blah blah blah. And it's like, okay, but now he's off. Now he's gone, and we can't beat the 9 seed Pelicans.
Yeah, but it's
like, doesn't
it's
that
kind
of prove how valuable he is to this team?
It's Perk. Perk is a
but he's
a prisoner of the moment.
He's a huge prisoner.
He's
of the
a prisoner of the moment type of dude, like. You know, he had the Nets winning game two, and then after the Celtics won, he was like, KD is in a penitentiary, you know, that the Celtics built around him. It's like, yo, you had the Celtics losing this game, so I didn't want, you know, Perk is going to be
Perk. He's like, whatever's on the next page is
what
I'm going to think.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I don't know.
My question is, no,
I mean,
my
he's
thing
not
is,
the only one, though. He's but, not the only one.
Yeah,
that,
but
like,
my thing is,
it was like, oh, they're going to sweep the Pelicans, so now Booker's gone, and oh, they might lose this. And it's like, well, doesn't that kind of show how valuable he is to this team?
My thing is, I think A needs to step up, and I think the Suns can beat the Pelicans with no problems without Booker. That's what I think. Whether it goes to 6 or 7, that remains to be seen. But I think the Suns have this series, And quite frankly, you know, if they were to get rid of the Pelicans sooner, then obviously Booker gets some more time to rest and, you know, this, that, and the other thing.
So, all right, to go back to what I was saying before, like, my negative view is, I mean, as somebody who watches every single, like, possession of the Suns every season.
This is why we called you, yes.
They, like, the role players haven't looked their best recently. Okay. I know how good they can be, which for the most of the season they have been, like Cam Johnson.
I've noticed the same thing, Tim.
So the positive part of it would be, all right, now they know they have to step up and they get back to playing the way they were playing for 90% of the season until the end. And then Booker comes back and they're back to being just the dominant team that they had been all season.
All right,
Tim, I'm going to throw it this way.
It's like hard for me to like look in between and be like,
I mean, they won what? 64 games this year.
Yeah. And they clinched the one seed with 3 weeks left. So like they were pretty much every other game for the last like 12 games. But they were just hitting everybody.
This is how I'll put it. I mean, there is the fat and happy thing that you got to worry about a little bit. And now that they don't have the guy who's, you know, they've been relying on, I am a little bit different than all the other pundits who are like freaking out about it. I think that Devin Booker should have gotten his roses all year as being the best player on the best team in the NBA.
And you said that. You were saying that.
How many times are you going to say that? Say what you're going to say.
No, what I'm going to say is that the Pelicans are not a normal 9 seed or whatever it is.
Hey, so like, technically.
Like, they had a lot of injuries, and they traded for C.J. McCollum at the trade deadline, and they don't have their best player playing, and they have a good role player situation. And if Brandon Ingram can go off, man, I just think that this series is now actually a series. Can the Suns win? Yeah, they should win because they got the best coach in the Western Conference, but I don't know. We'll see what happens.
All right, Tim, last question for me. Coach of the year, finalists.
Monty.
No, I know.
It has to be Monty.
Well, let me finish. Monty is in there. Listen, Monty is in there.
He goes, don't even fucking answer.
I know. But listen, listen. Hold on. I get it. Monty is in there, but Ime is not. Do you think Ime should have been a finalist?
He's not.
No, he's not. He's not a finalist. The other one is Spoelstra, and who the fuck is the Memphis coach? Right,
he should definitely be in there over Spoelstra, I'd say.
Nah, Spoelstra got to be in there. I think Spoelstra's winning Coach of the Year this year. I mean, Monty won it last year, right?
He didn't win it last year. He won the Coaches Association.
Oh, the fake one? Yeah.
Thibodeau, and he won the Coaches Association one again this year. But it's like, what does that even mean?
Wait, did Thibodeau win last year?
Thibodeau did on the Knicks. So like it should just they should just do a makeup.
It's Taylor Jenkins from Memphis, Spoelstra, and Monty Williams. Yeah.
So
Adoka should have made a final.
It should legit be a two year award.
Yeah, Monty Williams.
Like he should have got it last year, and then or him or the Jazz coach, I guess, last year. But how did the Knicks guy? Like, come on, Thibodeau, the fuck out of here.
Now that's just New York looking to get some type of.
And that's what annoys me about the media voting for all this stuff. Because
a legitimate beef. I mean, Booker's averages this year and the way he – Joel told me not to say it anymore, but it should have been the NBA, MVP conversation. Tim, I had him in my top five, motherfucker.
Yo,
top five what?
Players in the NBA this year. I had him in my top five. He's number five.
Hey, there you go.
No, but he was an MVP conversation. It's just that as the year goes on, especially around this time,
2 weeks of the season,
it's down to the three. Top three.
But then,
you think he's a top three MVP candidate? Yep.
Right. No, he wasn't.
Well, no, he should have been.
No, he wasn't.
No. I'm asking Sean if he thinks Booker is a top three. MVP candidate. He says yes. So
I think that's all I need to know about this conversation.
I
think Jokic in the past month should have been taken out of that top three.
I mean. It almost like hurt him that he was so consistent all year.
Yeah.
Because
and they like, won 64 I love Tatum. Of MVP candidate on the fucking thing. That's ridiculous.
If you followed like the ranking, like the power rankings of the MVP power rankings or whatever, like on NBA.com or ESPN.
That's a joke, by the way, but go ahead.
That's
a joke. That does MVP rankings, every week or whatever.
But like I'm looking at that and like when Tatum went on his like 2 or 3 week crazy stint.
Three month.
the team.
Booker was doing. Booker was putting up damn near the same numbers as him, but he'd just been doing it all year. And then he just jumps him in the MVP talks, and I'm like,
"It's like, yeah, it's like,
where did that come from? Like, it's like still like 16 games better than them.
Yeah, it's like Tatum winning, you know, Player of the Week three times in the month of March, but not winning Player of the Month. I get what you're saying.
Yeah,
that's exactly what happened. He didn't win Player of the Month, but he won the fucking, you know, Player of the Week three times out of four.
The coaches and players should vote on everything. This media crap just pisses me off so much.
Yeah.
It's the coaches and players know everything. They know it the most. They live it. Like the media, you're talking about Brian Windhorst fucking voting on shit. And it's like, dude, Brian Windhorst, what does he know? You know, he probably just votes for LeBron. For
he
everything.
Knows where the best candy bars are in Cleveland.
All right, Tim. we're gonna leave you on that.
It's the Smokey Robinson's. It's the Smokey Robinson bar, hands down.
Yeah,
four, get one free. Okay.
we're on agreement here that the Suns.
The nougat in those bars is amazing.
Oh my god,
Sean's gotten to that point already, as you can tell, but. Good luck.
Wait,
good luck.
Is that his Windhorst impression?
Yeah, like, what is his Windhorst impression?
Fucking Brian Windhorst is loving candy.
It's not a little bit like Tommy Heisen in there, but I don't know.
Wait. Before we get off this, shout out to Bobby Davidson, kid.
Who?
Shout out to the Bobby Bulls, Davidson.
The Bulls coach, man. Bobby Davidson.
Is that the Bulls coach name?
Yeah, shout out to Bobby Davidson.
For our day one fans. Years, many, many years ago, when we were trying to figure out who was the Oklahoma City Thunder coach, and we were all just like throwing names out there, like, no, isn't it Bobby Davidson?
It's Bobby fucking Davidson, kid from Southie.
To the point where that's what I call him now, and I forget his fucking real name half the time.
His real name is Billy Donovan.
Billy Donovan.
But it'll always be Bobby.
It'll always be Bobby Davidson on the Causeway Street podcast.
Every time.
Two to his face, he's like, what? Who? Who the fuck are y'all talking about right now?
Bobby Davidson.
Like, I legit was like thinking about, like, who is the Bulls coach?
It's Bobby. Bobby. Bobby's the man. All right, Tim. We're gonna let you go. But good luck. Yeah. Good luck to the Suns.
Bobby Davidson, kid. Yeah.
Good and I'm luck sure. I'm sure we'll have you on. You know, before the playoffs ends. All right.
Of course.
Yo, Tunis, Booker should be MVP, bro. I'm here, man.
All right, later.
We'll see ya.
Bobby fucking Davidson, kid. Hey, don't count the Bulls out in this first round series, man.
No, we're not. We're not. That's what we were discussing, you know, before we had Timmy 2-2 on. So let's continue here, you know, with the injury updates.
Okay.
Speaking of Luka Doncic, who the Suns could potentially see in the second round. Or the Pelicans, right? You never know.
You never know.
All right. He says he's been feeling great following an extensive post-shoot-around individual session that included running and ball handling and, of course, shooting. But there is still no definitive word on his status for game four.
Here's my thing about Luka. I think that Luka wants to – I think Luka's, like, looking at the series and will make his decision on his health.
You don't think Jason Kidd has anything to do with this? You don't think Jason Kidd is just like, you know, I need the squad to know that, like,
no.
People need to step up.
1,000%.
I don't think Rick Carlisle ever thought that way. No, he was just like, no, it's all about Luka.
I think they're both on the same page. I think Luka's like, I could play tonight.
Yeah. And Jason Kidd's like, well, I just take another day off.
No, I think they're both in the room being like, I could play. So if you want me to play Jason Kidd, I'll play. He's probably like, you know what? Let's see what we can fucking do without you. And he's like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, give these guys some confidence. Like,
make them move. Make them be able to shoot. Make Jalen Brunson put up 20 points again. Like,
well, he put up 40 the other night.
That's what I mean. Like, there's a good squad around Luka, but the way Luka plays, they feel like it's not a good squad.
Well, the last few years, it's always been like, you know, if Luka's, you know, ready to go, then this team has a chance. But then, like, he's had an injury or two in the last few years in the playoffs. And it's always like, another disappointing, you know, first round exit.
I think it's like Luka's never going to change the way he plays.
But the rest of his roster or his teammates have to know that when they get called upon, they're ready.
Yeah. And I think Joel, I'm just going to throw this out there. I haven't bet on this at all.
Throw it out there. Let me catch it.
But I do think that the Mavericks go up against, if the Mavericks fully healthy and fully Luka, they can beat anyone.
Okay, but I think even if Luka does return, I don't think he's 100% though.
See, that's the thing. Luka has to be 100%.
I don't think he's 100%
because you will need Luka to win.
I don't think he'll be 100% at all during this playoff run.
But
whether it ends in the first round or goes to the second round.
But supposedly it's just a hamstring.
Supposedly, but.
But it could be more.
I don't know if you noticed, my man, but Luka is still he's still carrying some what I like to call baby fat.
Yeah.
That he doesn't seem like he needs to. He doesn't think he needs to lose. He's just like I'm. This is who I am. Take me for who I am.
I don't think he does need to lose it because of the way he plays. But well, you know, I mean,
I think that would help his conditioning. Having better conditioning would help. Look at Jokic, for example, right?
Yeah, I disagree with that a little bit because of the way that he's always been built. Like he's just progressed as he's been built. Like if you get Luka the stick, I think then you're talking about way more injuries than you actually.
I'm not talking about stick. I'm talking about
the way Jokic has turned into.
No. I'm talking about better conditioning so that these injuries are not long term injuries.
1,000%. Luka, and he said it himself. He's like, when I come in, he does the Shaq shit. He comes into training camp
in his 20s, though.
I know, but he does the Shaq shit. But
Shaq was doing that in his 30s.
But Shaq was always doing it. His body Shaq was doing just that. Yeah, Shaq was
doing that. Like once he got to LA, he started doing that. But I mean, my point is, Shaq is you know seven four.
I just feel like if we get a ripped Luka, I don't think he's playing the same way.
I'm not saying ripped. I'm just saying like in better conditioning shape. That's all.
I do think that Luka getting this rest in the first round is nice. And if they can beat the Jazz in the first round, and then if by chance they get an injured Suns team with Booker being out for a couple games, Luka comes back. If they can handle the Jazz, right? Then Luka comes back and he's ready to go in game one, but Booker isn't. That's a big thing for that 4-1 matchup. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. We shall see what happens. Right now, the Mavericks are leading that series 2-1. In case you missed it, Ben Simmons. Yes, the guy who hasn't played since June 20th of 2021 plans to make his Nets debut in game 4, according to The Athletic, as long as his rehab remains on course. I mean, he was cleared for contact just a few days ago. So, naturally, he's ready for a playoff game, right? Against the number one defensive Celtics team, right? Only makes sense, especially since Mike Wilbon compared the C's defense to the bad boy Pistons and all. I think that's it's a great idea for the Nets to do and bring back Ben Simmons. Don't you think, Dutra?
Yeah, I think that by the time that Ben Simmons decides to come back, it will be the fourth quarter of, I don't know if you thought that they sent in the scrubs too early, because I do. Well, looking at the score in game 2, I think that's exactly when Ben Simmons will make his debut, is when the Celtics are up by 35 points going into the fourth quarter. Ben Simmons will come in and Steve Nash will be like, I'm getting fucking fired anyways. Yeah, Ben Simmons, go ahead, bro. You know what I mean?
You ruined our season.
You ruined my life.
I mean, at this point, like, what are you expecting out of this kid? You know, like, if he was going through mental health issues in Philly, and then you know all of a sudden he's got this herniated disc that he sustained a month ago. Like, what? Realistically?
Yeah. I got a herniated disc.
You do?
Yeah.
Show me when did this
happen?
It's happened?
Like this mental thing I've been going through.
Oh,
man.
My God. See? That's what
it is. You know,
like Steve Nash at the point, and he's just like, you know, you guys keep asking me about fucking, you know, Ben Simmons. It's really up to him. And it's always been up to him if he wants to fucking play or not.
I would trade Ben Simmons.
Whether in Philly or in Brooklyn.
Right now, I would trade Ben Simmons for Russell Westbrook.
Wow.
If I was the
I don't know if the Lakers would do that.
Thank you. That's what I would do. I'd be like, can we get someone that can come in and at least be like, yo, just chill out? Like,
can you imagine Durant and Russell Westbrook together?
Together again?
Like, nearly a decade later?
I think the only place that Russell Westbrook would play well is with Durant.
Yo, Kevin Durant would be like, fuck it. Let's go for it. Let's try it.
He's like, you can't be harder to deal with than Kyrie. Yeah. Like, I know. I dealt with you before.
I know, right? We've done this dance before. Like, I know how this
is. Like, it's like, know your enemy, right? Like, yeah, right? I know you. I don't know this motherfucker.
I thought I knew this motherfucker.
I thought I knew him. But then I realized like he killed Steve Irwin.
He made Harden go away. I don't, you know? Like, shit.
And but, he hates Australia.
Yeah, right? We all thought that the only person that can piss off Harden was Chris Paul and Russell Westbrook. But no, apparently. Kyrie didn't let James Harden last more than a year. All right, and last but not least, in case you missed it, Robert Williams is traveling with the Celtics to Brooklyn, according to C's coach Ime Udoka, which is some encouraging news. Whether he plays or not, Udoka did say that he's on the right track in his recovery from a partial torn meniscus. Game 2 happened to mark the 3-week period since his surgery. And Udoka also said, and I quote, "This is the time of the year we want him around the team, camaraderie-wise, and his impact just being around this group to be in the playoff atmosphere. So he will travel with us," end quote. Celtics can beat Brooklyn, obviously, without Robert Williams. I'm glad he's on the trip. And I'm happy either way if he plays or not, to be honest. Do you think he plays?
In this first round series, I'm not too sure, but I will say his shirt in game 2 was fire.
Of course. I mean, I failed to mention that. My bad.
And I was a little bit upset and at the same time encouraged.
Explain. Dare I ask?
When Marcus Smart won the Defensive Player of the Year, Robert Williams was right there.
Well, I mean, Marcus Smart had the L robe.
But everyone had, when Gary Payton gave him the trophy,
yeah,
everyone had liquid in their hands and were throwing it up in the air, jumping around like crazy kids do on their own prom day, you know what I mean? You know who's right there? Robert Williams.
Okay.
Jumping up and down like a motherfucker.
Well, I mean, he's
on a wet motherfucking basketball court.
He was excited, bro.
I understand that, which is why
nothing happened.
Which is why I am excited.
Oh, I got you.
But also concerned.
Well, he's progressing fine. He has no setbacks, according to Ime.
Thankfully, he doesn't have any setbacks after letting him go into that melee of a wet floor.
I mean, why you gotta look at it like that?
I
nothing happened.
But I'm just saying,
he shouldn't have been in that situation. I get it. All right, whatever.
Put him in a fucking...
He's celebrating with his teammates.
Hey, I hear you.
You know?
Put him behind Gary Payton.
He also got one first place vote.
I did see that.
And you know who else got a vote?
Gary Payton?
No. not since 26 years ago. Al Horford, he got one second place vote.
Hey.
So he finished ninth.
Solid.
So, you know, you got three Celtics finishing in the top 10. You got Marcus Smart winning the award, first guard in 26 years, second guard overall since this award has been
given out. I love the fact that the Celtics are just hanging their hat on the defensive end, man.
That's been Ime's identity. You know what Steve Nash's identity is? I don't. Do you?
I could.
Question mark?
You know what I will say? It's good. This is like emotional to say, but like Tommy would love the fuck out of this team, man.
Tommy was always a Marcus Smart fan. You knew that.
Always.
Always.
Always. And you know what?
They were always chatting it up.
Could you imagine Tommy Heinsohn?
Marcus Smart.
Sitting there watching us just beat the fuck out of Kevin Durant.
I think he
in two games.
He invented the Tommy Award for Marcus.
It used to be Walter's, but now it's Marcus.
Yeah, you're right. Because he loved Walter.
He loved Walter. Ah.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Yo, follow us on Snapchat.
Okay? Yeah, definitely follow us on
Snapchat.
Get
on Snapchat, okay? Hit up CausewayStreet.com for all your Celtics playoff coverage. Subscribe to our Causeway After Hours for exclusive content and giveaways.
Oh, yeah. Wait. We got a new giveaway going on right now.
The next Celtics jersey giveaway of your choice.
Let's go.
You're entered in the contest when you go to patreon.com/causeway and you subscribe. It's that simple.
If you choose Peyton Pritchard, I'll give you two. I'll buy the other one.
You heard it here first. All right. So subscribe. patreon.com/causeway. Sway. He's going to be in Brooklyn all weekend. Check him out on the Celtics postgame show, The Garden Report on CLNS. Subscribe to the Cedric Maxwell podcast. You know, got to give my bro a shout out anytime I can. You know, and I've been hearing him, you know, ask questions at the end of these games, just like old times again. You know, shit's starting to get, to normalize a little bit, right?
He's in the scrum.
You know, the mic can get passed to him and he gets to ask his questions. Too bad he didn't get to ask, Kyrie a question. That would have been great. But make sure you give our host, Sway, a follow. That's at Joe_Sway on Twitter for all things Celtics, Causeway Street, CLNS.
And if you've listened this far.
Come on, man. Why are you going to say that, man? This has been a great episode.
It's been a great episode.
Two-man crew. Shout out to Tim for coming on.
I will say, if somebody dares me to go to Brooklyn, I'll go to Brooklyn.
Okay.
Somebody's just got to dare me, though.
On Twitter or how we? No.
However they want to.
However they want to. All right. You're ready here. You got to dare
to. I'm looking for a reason.
So, game three of the playoffs or game four of the playoffs isn't reason enough?
I'm looking for a reason.
All right. And on that note, Black Lives Matter. Let's stop Asian hate. Let's pray for peace in the Middle East as we stand with the Ukraine. Until next time, we are out.